John chapter 1. And while you're doing that, Kathy, I hope you're ready for some new bell ringers.
Oh, yeah.
They sounded great. And it looks like they taught them with the technique. I've seen them do the actual thing. You know, when I was growing up, it was, hey, it makes noise, let's just shake it. But they were really controlled, and they really got it down. And I tell you, we're going to hear some great things out of those kids. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. We'll read these together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. May God add a blessing upon this reading. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this word. And we pray now that you would just hope and open our ears, that we may hear your word, that we may put it into our hearts, that we may chew upon it, that we may learn and grow spiritually, that we can become more mature Christians, and that with that, we will know the mission that you have chosen, the mission that you gave your Son, the mission that you have given each one of us to go and tell it on the mountain and on all over the world that Jesus Christ was born, that Jesus Christ not only was born, but he died, was buried, and on the third day, Jesus Christ arose, and he spent time on this earth before he ascended, and the victory has been won. Thank you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we think about everyday Christians, we come to the time of Christmas where everybody gets really excited about Christmas. We see acts of kindness going on. We see all kinds of things. And as we do this, I get a little confused sometimes. I understand birthdays. And I understand that with birthdays, if it's my birthday, then I expect everybody to give me birthday presents. I don't expect to give everybody else birthday presents, do you? We want to receive those. Now, I know once we get older, we don't quite want to tell the ages that we are, and we don't quite want to do that. But this is the time of the season that we are supposed to be celebrating Jesus' birthday, isn't it? So as I stated, if it's my birthday, I expect to get gifts. But when we come to Christmas Day, the celebrating of the birthday of Jesus, we're giving birthday gifts to who? Everybody else. Our children, our wives, our spouses, to those. And we do this shopping and all of this. And so it kind of keeps me confused about birthdays. But God prevented all of that. Because God doesn't need gifts from us. God has everything. In fact, if we read John, he doesn't talk about the scene of Joseph and Mary making the long journey to Bethlehem, the no room at the inn, the angels that came to visit. He doesn't mention any of that. All the others do, but John begins straight into it, doesn't he? He jumps right into it. In the beginning was the Word. He doesn't paint a picture. He gets right to the meat, right to the point. And so as we think about that, I want to ask this question, and I want us to think about it all throughout the service. How does a child born in a manger some 2,000 years ago change every day of your life? John jumps into that with this. In verses 14, he says, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us." One translation puts it this way: the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Well, I know that when certain people move into a neighborhood, we say, "There goes the neighborhood." And that's probably what they said when Angie and I moved into our neighborhood. But Jesus is in our neighborhood, folks. He has moved in with us, and He is with us. Jesus is the Word, and He is telling us that Jesus is the Word. So Jesus has been with us from our very beginning. Not just your mom and your dad, but Jesus was there too. God was there. God was at the very beginning with Jesus when He said, "Let us make man and woman in our image." We're like God. And so as we come to this time of the season, we have to realize that we come to celebrate the birth of Jesus not because of the great birth and that He was a king, because He never served as a king, did He? He was never put with a crown and purple on Himself. He never sat at a throne, did He? He never cast out orders, but He moved from town to town, teaching and also knowing that He had people behind Him always trying to kill Him, to put an end to what He was trying to establish. God came into flesh to walk among us. That's what He did. He came. And so as we look at that, we see John says three things in this passage of Scripture. We become adopted as God's children. Now I'm beginning to understand that adoption, with our son and his wife adopting the children that we have. I'm beginning to understand that process. But we are adopted by God. He has brought us in. We have been brought in. And so as we see that, God wants every person on this earth, every person here, to be His child. And I wonder if that's not why Jesus hasn't come yet. Because God is wanting everybody on this earth to go to heaven. That's why Jesus died, was so everybody could go to heaven. The only catch is we have to invite Him into our hearts. And we have become... Now, some people are tickled to death when they get an inheritance. Oh, look at the money I've got. Look at this nice home I just inherited from so-and-so. And then others dread it. Well, let's be honest. How many have children in here today? Raise your hand. How many have grandchildren? Raise your hand. How many want to see those grandchildren grow up and make something of their lives? All right. What if God would come right this very minute? Would we try to bargain with God and say, "Wait a minute, God, you know, I got these grandkids and I want to see what they can do on this earth. I want to see how well we raised our children and these children." But is our thought so much around family that we forget our true family? God brought us on this earth and brought families together, and part of our responsibility as parents is to what? Teach our children about Jesus Christ. And we did a good job up to that until recently. And parents today have split and divorced and split and divorced, and we have single parents raising children. And it becomes difficult, doesn't it? And so we have forgotten the times that we sat down with our parents at supper time and read scriptures. We forgot when we celebrated Christmas Day that we were part of God and we read the story before we did the presents. That's the things that we have to come to. Paul puts it this way in Romans 17. "Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His suffering, in order that we may also share in His glories." Being a Christian is great. And we like to celebrate that part, don't we? It is great to be a Christian. But He also says what? Jesus wasn't just great on this earth. Jesus suffered on this earth. And Paul is saying the same thing. We will celebrate the glorious things, but we should also be suffering just as Jesus did. And we should, not just in the things of being persecuted for what we believe in, but even the things that we say and do. When we're adopted as children of God, we receive the treasures. Those treasures we just heard for the last couple of Sundays are things like forgiveness, eternal and abundant life, light, blessings of love, joy, and peace. Those are the things we should enjoy as Christians, as part of the God's family. We should be able to enjoy those things. Now, some of us, and I'm that some of us that I'm getting ready to talk about, I'm in that group now, some of us have a tendency to not to remember our childhoods as much. But the one thing I do remember is I was a happy-go-lucky kid. I didn't have a problem in the world. My parents took care of everything for me. They clothed me. They fed me. They had a place for me to live, sleep. And if there was any problems at school, they took care of that. I didn't have a problem, did I? Life was good for me as a child. But how's that today? Children today, when my kids were coming along, they had kids that came over that they were already adults taking care of themselves. They didn't know what it was like to have fun anymore, to enjoy the life. And God tells us we need to experience not only the joy, but the suffering that will come. And then in verse 4, we see the second thing. We can receive His life. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. In Him, in this child, is life. Can you imagine God taking a little bit of mud, making a man out of it, and breathing into that dirt and made man? This is what He's saying. We were created in Him. He is the life. He is our life. He is our light. This child, and God, John repeats this over and over in his gospel. In John 20, 31, he says, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." People are walking around hopelessly looking for answers. And there are Christians that are walking around hopelessly looking for answers when God has given us the answers. Now, He didn't say it would be easy. It's not going to be all fun and joy. It's going to be a mixture of highs and lows, isn't it? Even in our lives, we see that without God. There are times that things are great one day, and the next day it looks like the whole earth has caved in on us. That is still going to happen as Christians. But what we realize as Christians is we don't have to go it alone. God is with us. God came to this earth because He wanted us to experience abundant life. Now, I remember that, and I remember that little tract, the Four Spiritual Laws, that talked about abundant life. There's not many preachers today that are preaching on that abundant life that He is talking about. He is talking about it. In John 10:10, He continues to say, "I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly, full." That is what He wants us to have, is an abundant life on this earth, and get ready to have an abundant life in heaven. He wants us to experience it now. That's what He's looking for. And we all know what John 3:16 says, right? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Why? That we may have life to the full. As Christians, we need to redo that, reread it, study it, and begin to see how do we experience. James goes on to say in chapter 1, verse 17, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows." He wants us to have it. God wants us to experience. That's why He sent His Son on this earth. Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, together could just snap their fingers and make every one of us worship Him. We would all bow down. But that's not God's love. God's love was so great that he sent Jesus on this earth to become like us, to experience the same things we experienced, to have the temptations that we had, and to set the example, and then to die for us, that we may have abundant life. And the third thing we see here is we can receive his light in our darkness. In verses 4 and 5 of the scripture, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." When I was working with the middle schoolers before I had my accident, we just talked about things that you were afraid of. You know what the number one fear was with our middle schoolers? And if we wanted to be honest, it's probably in all of us. Nighttime, darkness. They were scared of the dark. Folks, this world is dark. I don't care how you look at it. I don't care how bright the sun is. I don't care how hot it's radiating out there. This world is full of darkness. Look at it. 1 year to date, they talked about another shooting of Columbine right down the road. People are killing one another. There is no love for one another. There is hatred. And we're trying to solve the answers by saying this and that. Let's take away the gun. Let's have everybody be tested to see if they're mentally ill or not. Let's do this and let's do that. God has given us the answer, hasn't he? We know the answer. We know how to solve it, don't we? And we put light into this world. We put love into this world, don't we? That's how we solve it. If we begin to love one another, and this is the example that God, Jesus set for us. Now, we get smart mouth people say things about us as Christians. But remember, look at the words and the things that were said about Jesus Christ the night he was arrested, the night that he spent in jail, the night before Pilate, that long walk to the cross. What did the people say? What did the people do? And what was his response? Father, forgive them. That is what he's called us to do too. That is the example. And we can't do it on our own. We can't do it. We're human nature, and our human nature says what? The golden rule, we've changed it tremendously, is do unto others before they do to you, right? I'm not going to get hurt anymore. That's the human thought. That's the world thought. You're not going to hurt me, but I'll hurt you before you can hurt me. And Jesus said the opposite. I am going to die for you. I would rather die for you than I would for you to get hurt. Our world is shrouded in darkness from man from the very first day. We may think the world is getting better, but the reality is it is not. Sometime back, you may remember, in Sudan, 70,000 people were killed. 1.8 million have been displaced in homes and villages, burned. And we call it genocide. We see and look at Iraq and all of the other countries that we are in disputes with and the fightings that are going on. We see that darkness still remains in all of these. Our children and grandchildren have to worry about drugs and violence and even being shot at school now. And whether we like to hear it or not, that darkness penetrates within each one of us because we are human. And God says there's only one way to eradicate all of the darkness, and that is through Jesus. And Jesus said in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." There's hope. There's hope. There's peace. There's love through Jesus Christ. And that's why we light these candles, to remind us of that each year. But it should help us to remind us each and every day. God sent Jesus to come upon this earth to give us light. as we come, He also gives us an out through Jesus. Jesus died for our sins. And what He requests of us through that is simply this: to confess our sins. I was a very curious person as a child, and we'll leave it at that. Very curious. And there were things that I was very curious about that got me in trouble. There were some that I thought I was slick enough about that my parents didn't know anything about it. They never said anything, and I thought, well, I got by with that. But with my raising, there was always something behind me that was saying, you're going to get caught. But there was something over here that says, but you overcome it. And I took this one. Time came when this one was overshadowed by this one. And it was a relief, wasn't it, when we confessed it to our parents. We felt really great once the cat was out of the bag. That's the way it is with God. God knows our sins. We haven't pulled the wool over His ears. He knows what we've done. But He is waiting for us to come confess it. So the question this morning is, do we want to live in that kind of a world where we know what we've done is wrong? Or do we confess it to our Lord Jesus Christ and let Him deal with it? Face it. I have a prayer that I pray quite often, and I'm trying to make it less often. And it goes like this: Dear God, I have made a mess of things. I have tried to do it on my own, and now that I have made a mess on it, I need You to undo the mess. Sound familiar? 2-year-old, 3-year-olds, I can do it myself, right? Well, guess what? We're 2-year-olds to God, because that's the way we act sometimes. We can do it ourselves. God, You gave us the Bible. You gave us church. You gave us Sunday school. I can do it myself. But we cannot defeat Satan, folks. We can't by ourselves. But we can through Jesus Christ. So I go back and ask you this morning, how does a child born in a manger some 2,000 years ago affect your everyday life? Are you here this morning because it's Christmas time and that's the right thing to do? Are you here because you really want to worship God? Can you say this morning that I experienced the abundant life? Or maybe there is a portion of your life that you just haven't turned loose yet that needs to be turned over this morning. The story is told of a man that talked to God, and he says, I will give you Sunday through Thursday. I will serve you. I will do whatever you want me to do Sunday through Thursday. But when it comes Friday and Saturday nights, they're mine. I will do what I want to do. Do we have a hard time turning over something to God? Is God calling us to do something, to teach a Sunday school class, to sing, to witness to somebody in your family or to your neighbor, and we just haven't done it yet because we feel inadequate? Take heart. God says we can do it because I gave my Son to die on the cross, so we can do it. And this morning, there is victory in Jesus Christ. When you become a child, you receive the treasures He has promised to us. Love, hope, peace, joy, patience, humbleness, those things. What great gifts God has given us. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for John and his writings. Maybe it's too hard for us. Maybe he was too to the point and blunt to us. But Father, thank You for Your love for us. And may each one of us this morning reconcile all differences with one another and with you. Father, we want that light to shine each and every day of our lives, not just during the holidays, but each and every day. And Father, we want to become and be a part of the family of God, and we want to experience that abundant life. Open our eyes this morning, Father, that we may see. Open our ears that we may hear. Open our mouths this morning that we may tell that Jesus Christ is alive and that there is hope, peace, joy, and love through you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, the hymn of invitation is given for those to make decisions. 106 is the number. Okay.